What are some other pool rules?
Never run.
Never run. Yeah. Why don't we run?
It's a Tuesday afternoon at the Roxbury YMCA. Like many kids their age, these students from nearby Trotter Elementary are getting ready for some after-school fun. And for them, that means swimming. But there's a big current this class is trying to swim against. More than half of them, and other first through third graders at Trotter, don't know how to swim. It's why Roxbury Y Interim Director Catherine Saunders and others are trying to help them not become another drowning casualty.
Our biggest motivation was the statistics that really say that African-American and Latino children drown at a much higher percentage. And we wanted to make sure that as much as we can, kids are going to be drown-proof. That's one of the terms that we start to use as they progress through swim lessons. But also, they feel comfortable around the water. They feel comfortable on a boat. They feel comfortable being around large bodies of water.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, African-American children drown at a rate almost three times that of white and Latino children. So this past winter, the YMCA of Greater Boston launched the Urban Swim Program. The Roxbury Y, along with the YMCA in Dorchester, work with nearby schools to provide free lessons to more than 250 children.
We really wanted to partner with the schools so that the kids that we got in the program not only swam on their own, which would benefit their family, but also could come over as a cohort. So they come over as a group, they learn how to swim as a group, and then hopefully they have more fun as a group.
Locally, the Urban Swim Program is just the latest effort to try and tackle the swimming gap between African-American kids and other children. But Saunders says she believes the Y program also tackles other smaller obstacles.
By getting the kids in after school time, the parents can pick those kids up right after school, but they didn't have to necessarily bring the kids here. So for us, it took the obstacle of parent transportation, parents having to get off from work, and then, of course, the cost. We offered this free to anyone who wanted to participate, and we targeted the 1 through 3rd graders, but it really is taking away the barrier of having to pay for the class at all.
According to the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, black children were a quarter of all child drownings between 2006 and 2010. That's despite the fact that they're only around 8.5% of the state's child population. Racial disparities in swimming trace back to segregation, when African Americans weren't allowed at many public and private pools.
In the 1920s and 30s, swimming became broadly popular and swimming knowledge became broadly disseminated among whites, precisely because they had access to these thousands of pools that were being built. But it did not become popularized among black Americans because they were largely denied access to these pools.
University of Montana professor Jeff Woltze has long studied the social history of swimming in the United States. He points out that prior to the 20s and 30s, segregation in public pools were more likely to be along the lines of sex and class, not race. This shifted with changing attitudes about sex and as immigrant whites moved up the economic ladder. The increased racial segregation of pools during this period took place as Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal spent $750 million on recreation facilities, which included thousands of new public pools. Ironically, the goal of the effort was to democratize access to recreation. But today, Woltze says disparities have more to do with another familiar issue, class.
Well-to-do districts and suburban school districts tend to be able to provide swimming pools and swimming instructions more so than poor districts and poorer schools. Similarly, well-to-do suburban neighborhoods, plentiful access to swimming pools, both private club pools and also increasingly over the last 10 to 15, 20 years, suburban neighborhoods have also been building public pools. In cities, especially poor areas of cities, pools have been being closed down over the last several decades. And the closing of urban pools actually accelerated, not surprisingly, in 2008, 2009, 2010, when we went through the recent economic recession.
Since at least the late 1980s, only one new municipal pool has opened in Boston. And the issue of class is hard to ignore at Trotter Elementary, where over 80% of students are considered low income. That's one reason why parent Dion Jones says the free program at the Roxbury Y is a big help to all families, but especially those who are not knowing how to swim can extend to parents and even grandparents.
It gives their kids an opportunity to be exposed to the water, and a lot of these children are in summer programs, so it's awesome that they get a chance to be in the pool before the summer and maybe have a little bit more fun.
It's not the first time Jones' 6-year-old daughter Devin has been in the pool. In fact, Jones also raised her two older daughters not to be afraid of the water. Both, went on to become lifeguards.
My mother was afraid to swim, so she made sure that my brother and I were able to swim. So I grew up in the pool.
Lifeguard Qualia Johnson says such fear still lingers in many children and families.
I see the fear in them, but once you assure them that everything's going to be okay, I'm right here with you, you know, we can do it together if you want, you know, like, that's what I tell the kids. After that, they're usually, by the time we're, like, halfway done, they're like, let me do it by myself. Because they know that I'm right there, I'm not going to leave them, or I'm not going to let nothing happen to them.
It was at the Roxbury Y that the 21-year-old Johnson learned how to swim when she was a child herself. Yet she's also a rarity among local lifeguards. Out of the more than 300 lifeguards that the Y of Greater Boston employs, only 30 are African American. The Red Cross, the top group nationally when it comes to lifeguard training, doesn't track the race of lifeguards that it certifies.
I'm now teaching the counselors and my mentors that were my mentors, I'm teaching their children now, so it's like a chain.
And such a chain of community is key to closing the swimming gap, says Jeff Woolsey.
The solution to the problem is having facilities that are available for people that they want to go to, and they want to go to time after time after time during the summer. That's how swimming is going to become popular. That's how knowledge of swimming is going to be spread more broadly than it is today, not simply saying, all right, we're going to give you a program of 4 swimming lessons. But then after you're done with these swimming lessons, we're not really going to have an appealing place for you to go to swim.
Woolsey adds that more government spending for public recreation facilities would also go a long way in fixing the problem, but says that in today's political and economic environment, that's unlikely to happen anytime soon. As for the urban swim program, talks are still ongoing about extending it for the fall. Classes would be open to new students, but still target younger children such as the ones from Trotter. Organizers believe there's less fear in the younger kids, and that makes them more primed to enjoy the water. James Edwards, WGBH, Boston Public Radio.
That's a life rule. That's a rule we take outside of the pool, without mind too, right? So we want to make sure that you're listening. You always listen to the instructors and lifeguard, right?
Yes.
You always want to hold on to the ball?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.